This is a recording of Where Was the Third Edition of the Book of Mormon Printed in Cincinnati? Everybody Knows It's Cincy, But Where? By Chris Masnick. Published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture. Read by the author, Chris Masnick. Abstract. The third edition of the Book of Mormon was stereotyped and printed in Cincinnati in 1840. The story of the church's printer, Ebenezer Robinson, accomplishing this mission has been available since 1883. What has remained a mystery is exactly where in Cincinnati this event took place. There is no plaque marking the spot, no walking tour pamphlet, no previous images, and its history contains conflicting documentation. This article will untangle the mystery by using old descriptions, maps of the area, and images. I also honor the printer, Edwin Shepherd, whose metal and ink made this edition a reality. An extra note of introduction here to explain the impetus for this research project. Every year, my wife Angie's company holds a convention in different cities throughout the United States and beyond. I accompany her so we can spend some time away, just the two of us. While Angie attends classes about products and sales methods, I like to slip out to see what I can see. In March 2014, the annual convention brought us to Cincinnati, Ohio. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that the third edition of the Book of Mormon had been printed in Cincinnati, and I wanted to see the building where it happened. After gathering some preliminary information through the internet that the printers of the 1840 edition had an office on West 3rd Street opposite the post office, I headed to 3rd Street to see what I could see. Well, no post office there for one. Secondly, except for some 1890s buildings for a half a block, steel and glass skyscrapers, parking structures, and an interstate highway now dominate the area of interest. Several back-and-forth trips to the city-county library provided some new information, but I was still unable to determine exactly where the Shepherd and Stearns printing office had been located in 1840 during the time allotted for our stay in the Queen City of the West. I did take pictures, though, hoping that some of them might be useful later, and they were. I must be afflicted with OCD, because after we returned home, I wasn't going to let the mystery drop. And isn't the internet an absolute wonderful research tool? How do researchers ever get anything done without it, or make a profitable living while pursuing answers for their inquisitive minds? It took 8 months for novice me to pull this together, but it got done thankfully to the many kind and patient people who held my hand throughout this birth-like process, me being the newborn, kicking and screaming. For the full-blown enhancement of this research, because this abridgment is space-limited, please visit my website at listofchris.com. That's French for Chris's List and is spelled listedechris, one word, .com. Click on the tab entitled Cincinnati, then click on the famous 1848 daguerreotype of the Cincinnati waterfront. Many fascinating relationships between well-known people were uncovered during the research of this printing mission. I add here one last disclaimer. I have no personal ties to Cincinnati and have no ulterior motives in that sense. I am a native Angeleno and I bleed Dodger blue. Now on to the story. In early 1839, the Mormons, under official government threat of extermination, were expelled from the state of Missouri, leaving homes and property behind, which were confiscated without remuneration, quote, to defray the expenses of the war, close quote. The Saints had very little money when they started to build a new life on the swampy eastern bank of the Mississippi River. They settled in Commerce, Illinois, which seems an ironic misnomer for the town, considering little business was conducted in the area. Joseph Smith, intent on transforming this small parcel of swampy land into a safe place for the Saints to live and prosper, renamed the city Nauvoo, which he interpreted as a beautiful location, a place of rest. The demand for church publications, including copies of the Book of Mormon, increased as saints continued to settle in Nauvoo, but the inventory of copies had been totally depleted. In the early 1830s, when the saints were headquartered in Kirtland, Ohio, the Prophet Joseph Smith's youngest brother, Don Carlos, and recent convert Ebenezer Robinson, both printers, were employed in the church's printing operations. They worked just behind the northwest corner of the Kirtland Temple in the church's printing office, located on the second floor of a separate multipurpose wood frame building. Here, between 3,000 and 5,000 copies of the second edition of the Book of Mormon were printed in the winter of 1836-37. A year later, on January 16, 1838, a suspected arson fire destroyed the printing office as well as some of the inventory of the newly printed second edition. When the saints removed to Far West Missouri in early 1838, a new printing press was procured. During the violent clashes between the saints and the Missourians in 1838, precautions were taken to hide and safeguard the printing press. Along with the press, the type was boxed and buried in the ground, and a haystack was placed over the cache. The press and type were later retrieved and brought to Nauvoo, but some of the type had corroded and had to be replaced. Church leaders in Nauvoo were unable to raise any money from its destitute members, who were struggling just to meet life's basic necessities. Ebenezer Robinson felt a personal responsibility to get the Book of Mormon again into circulation. He recorded that as he was walking to the printing office in Nauvoo in May 1840, he received a manifestation from the Lord, such an one as I had never received before or since. It seemed that a ball of fire came down from above, and striking the top of my head, passed down into my heart, and told me in plain and distinct language what course I should pursue, and I could get the Book of Mormon stereotyped and printed. I was to go to Cincinnati, and as the plates were being stereotyped, hire a press and get the book struck off form by form, so that when the last set of the plates was done, the book should be ready for delivery. I was to send circulars to the different branches, that for every $100 they would send us, we would send them 110 copies of the Book of Mormon, and in that same ratio throughout, God promised me that by the time we got the books out, we would have enough money to pay for them. At least we would be able to meet the expense that way. The matter was so plain to me that I knew all about it. From that minute, I knew just what to do. Don Carlos and Ebenezer were able to negotiate a deal for $145 from one brother, but even though they advertised in the Times and Seasons to get seed money for the project, they failed in raising any additional funds. Despite not being fully funded for the endeavor, Robinson told Don Carlos, "Yes, I will go to Cincinnati, but I will not come home until the Book of Mormon is stereotyped." Stereotyping is the fabrication of permanent metal plates from molds of typeset pages, so the plates may be used again for printing at a later time without having to typeset anew each page. Accomplishing this mission to Cincinnati, Robinson said, was as fire shut up in my bones, both day and night. He could not rest until he saw the work through to completion. The prophet agreed to the project and then sat down with Robinson to carefully revise a copy of the second edition of the Book of Mormon, 1837, which Robinson would take to Cincinnati. During the process of revision, the prophet referred to the original manuscript. It appears it was the last time the prophet corrected the Book of Mormon prior to a printing, making the resultant 1843 edition an important source for the church's 1981 printed edition, which Latter-day Saints use today. Stereotyping and printing the new edition. Cincinnati, Ohio in 1840 was the fastest growing big city in America. Though on the frontier, the fair Queen City of the West got its moniker for its 19th century order, enterprise, public spirit, and liberality. At 46,000 inhabitants, the city ranked 6th in U.S. population, exceeded only by the immigration port cities of New York, Baltimore, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and Boston, respectively. By 1850, Cincinnati was recognized as the nation's second-largest industrial hub, and 6 years later ranked fourth in printing and publishing output. On June 18th, Robinson boarded the packet steamboat Brazil and headed down the Mississippi River to St. Louis and then up the Ohio River to Cincinnati. Robinson lost a portion of the money to con men at the riverfront in St. Louis, but he actually considered it a blessing. He felt he learned a lesson to focus more intently on his sacred mission and not be distracted from it again. When he reached Cincinnati, Robinson sought out a print shop but felt uncomfortable in the first establishment he visited. After getting a bid for the work, he asked if there were another stereotype foundry in town. He was told he could go to a print foundry, Gleason and Shepherd, in Bank Alley off 3rd Street. Robinson said, "I felt in an instant that that was the place for me to apply to," whereupon he left and was able to locate the other foundry. As I entered the office, I saw three gentlemen standing by the desk in conversation, recounted Robinson in 1889. I asked if Messrs. Gleason and Shepherd were in. A gentleman stepped forward and said, "My name is Gleason." I said, "I have come to get the Book of Mormon stereotyped." Eben Knight Gleason was in the process of leaving the partnership, which caused Edwin Shepherd to step forward as the new lead proprietor, declaring, "When that book is stereotyped, I am the man to stereotype it." The third man, Robinson observed, could very likely have been Shepherd's new partner, George Sullivan Stearns. Shepherd calculated the cost of stereotyping at $550, and Robinson responded with an offer to pay $100 up front, $250 during the 3 months it would take Shepherd to do the job, and the remaining $200 after the job was complete. In addition, Robinson offered to provide sweat equity, mainly proofing the plates at 25 cents an hour. Both parties agreed to the arrangement. A contract was signed, and three type compositors began work on the third edition within 24 hours. Robinson also decided that as each set of 16 proof plates were finished, he would have 2,000 signature sheets of those 16 pages printed, and have the sheets folded and bound while waiting for the next set of 16 plates to be stereotyped, enabling him to have 2,000 finished copies of the Book of Mormon by the time he would return to Nauvoo. After purchasing paper, ink, and binding supplies, he was under contract for a total amount of $1,050. Robinson, having only 6¾ cents, an old-fashioned Spanish sixpence left in his pocket, found room and board on credit from one of the firm's workers. Robinson anxiously awaited several weeks before any funds from Nauvoo began to arrive. "I confess that for a time," Robinson said, "viewed from a worldly standpoint, it looked quite gloomy, but I never for a moment lost faith in the final success or literal fulfillment of the previous promise of the Lord made to me in Nauvoo." Indeed, Robinson was successful. The job was finished in October 1840, and Robinson was able to pay for all the contracted work and supplies before the bills came due. 1,000 copies were mailed to those who had pre-ordered, and the remaining 1,000 were shipped from Cincinnati to Nauvoo. Upon his own return to Nauvoo that month, Robinson gave possession of the stereotype plates to Joseph Smith. By early 1841, all 2,000 Cincinnati copies of the third edition of the Book of Mormon had been sold. Robinson and Don Carlos had received permission from the prophet in December 1840 to print additional copies from the stereotype plates, this time in Nauvoo. Several hundred books were printed before the April 1841 conference, to meet projected demand by the conference goers, with later printings completed to meet demand until reaching or possibly exceeding the authorized limit. Where in Cincinnati was Shepherd and Stearns located? Today, without some considerable research, a person would have a hard time trying to locate exactly where, in Cincinnati, the third edition of the Book of Mormon was contracted, stereotyped, and printed. The buildings in which these events took place no longer stand, and neither do the buildings that had surrounded them. Complicating matters are changes in the locations of points of reference, such as the post office, the Masonic temple, the print shop itself, and changes in street names. These challenges are compounded by lags in the updates to Cincinnati city directories and maps. Unlike the E.B. Grandin print shop, Grandin's own gravesite in Palmyra, New York, or the plaque that notes the location of where the second edition of the Book of Mormon was published at the church's print shop on the Kirtland Temple grounds, there are no church historical site markers honoring this important church event. Locating the site of the third edition printing took some sleuthing. The Gleason and Shepherd printing office in Cincinnati first opened in 1837 at 29 Pearl Street next to another printing establishment owned by Nathan G. Burgess at 27 Pearl Street. An advertisement in Schaefer's 1839-1840 city directory indicated that the Gleason and Shepherd printing business had moved one block north to West 3rd Street. In the same city directory, the Gleason and Shepherd office was described as being in the rear of Delafield and Burnett's banking and exchange office, whose location is listed in that 1840 city directory as being next door west of the Lafayette Bank. An 1849 lithograph by Ernst Schnicke depicts this location. The Lafayette Franklin Bank is the colonnaded and classical Greek gabled building in the center of Figure 6 on the north side of West 3rd Street. The bank building was erected in 1836 and existed until 1931. The castellated fortress-like building beyond the bank is Cincinnati's Second Masonic Temple, which was completed in December 1845. The smaller building, situated between the Lafayette Franklin Bank and the Masonic Temple, matches the location description of Delafield and Burnett / Gleason and Shepherd in 1840. The building in question was the first Masonic Temple structure in Cincinnati. It was erected due in large part to the efforts of Mason and Assistant Postmaster Elam Potter Langdon. The two-story brick building fronted 3rd Street for 56 feet. The Masons used the second floor as its first lodge from December 27, 1824 to December 1845, and the Cincinnati Post Office occupied the first floor from 1824 to 1836. This is why Masonic Alley was also known as Post Office Alley. The building existed at least until 1849 and possibly as late as 1858, when a third Masonic temple replaced both the first and second temple buildings, consuming all of the 200-foot frontage on 3rd Street between Walnut and Bank Alley. In short, since this site was one door west of the Lafayette Bank in 1839 to 1840, and Delafield and Burnett Banking occupied the former post office space on the first floor, the location of Gleason and Shepherd can now be pinpointed. It was the annex in Masonic / Post Office / Bank Alley behind Delafield and Burnett's. Here the contracting for stereotyping and printing the third edition of the Book of Mormon was signed, and the project was started. Though the printing office was in Bank Alley, it used West 3rd Street as its official address, as seen in the Figure 5 directory ad. At this point, we need to add an important footnote, number 38. The alley running from 3rd Street to 4th Street between Main and Sycamore was designated Bank Alley in 1829 by the city of Cincinnati. Sometime between 1840 and 1842, the name of that alley was officially changed to Mayor's Alley because of a new mayor's office there, and by 1855, it was renamed one more time to Haymond Alley. Masonic Alley, also known as Post Office Alley, up to 1836, was at least informally known as the New Bank Alley by 1840, as evidenced by Nathan Burgess's and Robinson's calling it by that name. By 1846, Masonic Alley formally had its name changed to Bank Alley. When Ebenezer Robinson came to Cincinnati in 1840, he most likely arrived on the cusp of Masonic Alley's informal name change to Bank Alley, probably due to its being next to the imposing Lafayette Franklin Bank Building. There is nothing that correlates to a print shop run by Gleason and Shepherd being on the originally named Bank Alley between Main and Sycamore on East 3rd Street. End of footnote. Gleason was on his way out of the partnership the day Robinson arrived, and only by means of the 1842 city directory do we know that Shepherd moved the business into another building on the south side of West 3rd Street opposite the post office. It is not known if Shepherd and Stearns moved during the printing of the third edition, or if the move from Bank Alley happened after the book printing was completed in October of 1840. The West 3rd Street address on the title page of the third edition indicates that either 1. Shepherd continued to use the usual West 3rd Street address for the Bank Alley office, or 2. Shepherd and Stearns had already moved by the time the title page was printed. Notwithstanding the actual print shop location between June 1840 and November 1841, mail could find its way to Shepherd and Stearns simply by using West 3rd Street as an address. Figure 8 shows the south elevation rendering of the new Third Masonic Temple, 1859 to 1928, with the Lafayette Franklin Bank Building to the right. By 1859, the previous Masonic buildings had been razed because this new temple required all 200 feet of frontage on West 3rd Street. The third temple fronted Walnut on the west for 100 feet. Its clock tower and cupolas were never constructed due to lack of resources caused by the onset of the Civil War. Today, the parking structure in Figure 9 occupies a spot where the Lafayette and Franklin Bank Building stood between 1836 and 1931. The Scripps skyscraper to the left of the parking lot sits on the property where the first three Cincinnati Masonic temples stood on West 3rd Street. The narrow gap between the parking lot and the skyscraper is Burning Place, that's spelled B-E-R-N-I-N-G, which was the former Bank Alley, where the entrance to Gleason and Shepherd / Shepherd and Stearns was located in 1840. Though the work of the third edition started in Bank Alley, Shepherd and Stearns could have completed the stereotyping and printing of all or part of the 2,000 Cincinnati copies of the third edition of the Book of Mormon in the shop on Bank Alley, map point 1, or at the new location, map point 2, shown in figure 10. However, Ebenezer Robinson mentions nothing in his 1883 or 1889 memoirs about a printing office move while he was in Cincinnati on his printing mission. The city of Cincinnati purchased the land on Pearl Street and demolished all its buildings so that the sunken Fort Washington Way, or I-71, could be extended through the downtown area. All buildings on the south side of 3rd Street and on the north side of 2nd Street were also razed. As a result, no 19th-century buildings stand there now. In Figure 11, the arrow approximates closely the location of Shepherd and Stearns' printing office between 1840/41 to 1843, and of Shepherd and Company between 1843 and 1844. The Freedom Center, also called the Underground Railroad Museum, is located in the middle of the photograph. By 1845, Shepherd and Company moved to the south side of East 2nd Street, or East Columbia Street, at number 11 between Main and Sycamore. Then from 1847 to 1850, the print shop is listed at 41 East 2nd Street between Sycamore and Broadway, still on the south side of 2nd Street. Edwin Shepherd died at the age of 38 on July 23, 1850, and was buried the following day in Spring Grove Cemetery, 6 miles north of Cincinnati. His death occurred as part of the 1849 to 1851 cholera epidemic, which claimed the lives of 6,000 to 8,000 residents of Cincinnati, just as Latter-day Saints had experienced elsewhere during that period. Since Shepherd was not married and had no children, John Brooks Russell, managing editor of the Cincinnati Gazette, his landlord, business associate, and half-brother of Shepherd's former partner George Stearns, took possession of Shepherd's body and had it buried in Russell's own family plot. There is no headstone on Edwin Shepherd's grave. If you search for Edwin Shepherd's last print shop location at 41 East 2nd Street, you will end up at the home ballpark of Major League Baseball's Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Printing Mission. Locating the site of the third printing of the Book of Mormon is more than a trivial exercise in revealing historical minutiae. Its discovery adds a visual element to the testimony of Ebenezer Robinson in regard to the guiding hand the Lord provided for the printing of the Book of Mormon at a time when resources were scarce in the church. In June 1841, Robinson and Don Carlos Smith went to Cincinnati to buy printing supplies for the church's printing office in Nauvoo. They paid a visit to Edwin Shepherd, and after settling their account, Robinson related that Shepherd then arose and said, "Mr. Robinson, do you want to know what made me do as I did when you came here last summer? It was no business way. It was not what I saw in you, but what I felt here," putting his hand upon his heart. Robinson continued, quote, "This voluntary statement of Mr. Shepherd's afforded me great pleasure, as it was a practical illustration of the case with which the Lord can move upon the hearts of the children of men to assist in the accomplishment of his work and purposes. From the foregoing experience, together with many other evidences that I have received of the truth of the divine origin of the Book of Mormon, I bear record that it is true, and that the promises and prophecies contained therein are being and will be fulfilled to the letter." Close quote. End of text. This has been a recording of Where Was the Third Edition of the Book of Mormon Printed in Cincinnati? Everybody Knows It's Cincy, But Where? By Chris Masnick, originally published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture, Volume 13, 2015, pages 35 through 53, read by the author Chris Masnick. This audio recording is copyrighted under a Creative Commons license and may be freely distributed if it remains unchanged. The journal and its website are credited and is for non-commercial use. A printed version of this and many other articles and resources on Mormon scripture can be found at MormonInterpreter.com.